We're reading today from Ruth chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David.
I'm not going to lie to you guys, I'm a bit distracted right now. Got my mind's all over the place. So I need to pray real quick just to kind of, if not for you, but for me. Amen. So let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we are yours. We thank you that you've given us this place to gather. Where we want to draw our attention, all of our focus would be centered upon you. And we just ask for you to do that work this morning in each one of our lives. We've all come in here with different things, coming from different places, different pain and suffering and different joys. And we need you, Lord, to just get us laser point focused on your son Jesus this morning. And so I just pray that over myself. I pray that over your people. And we are utterly dependent and reliant upon you to do the work in us that we so deeply need. And so we just come to you this morning and we thank you and we praise you that you're here with us, that you love us, that you're for us. And so we look to you this morning to provide everything we need. We pray these things in your son's sweet name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As I was reading the passage this week, I thought about my wedding day, my marriage to my wife. I thought about my firstborn child and the children that were born after that. These moments, the birth of my first child and my marriage to my wife, the days that these things occurred are significant moments in my life. They're monumental moments in my life that I could explain to you in vivid detail, and maybe I have before. If you want me to later, I'd be happy to do that. But it stood out to me this week that these events in the life of Boaz and Ruth are summed up in one verse. And it's not a very long verse either. And so I wanted to just, I almost read past this verse, the first verse we come upon. And I almost just breezed right past it. And it was like the Lord was like, "Oh, maybe you need to slow down, bro, and just take a minute. Take a minute with this." And so we're going to slow down just a little bit and look at how the Lord brings redemption through a marriage that brings forth a son. First, we're going to look at how he does so through this marriage between Boaz and Ruth, where he brings forth this son, Obed, whose name means servant, and he is sent to redeem his grandmother, Naomi. And then we're going to look at how the marriage between God, the husband, and his wife, Israel, brings forth a servant son who brings redemption to the Jewish people who would put their faith in him. And then we're going to look at how that servant son, who's also known as the groom, the bridegroom, he brings redemption to his bride, the church. So we're going to walk through this morning together. I love these biblical patterns that exist for us, where we get to see God's consistent hand and his consistent plan at work from the beginning until it is one day complete. So let's look at Boaz and Ruth first. I'm going to reread the passage for us. It's not very long. I think we can handle another reading of it. Does that sound fair? So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." And then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. So this marriage between Boaz and Ruth has been, it's been arranged by Naomi. We've seen that in prior weeks. This is common in Jewish culture that the parents would arrange the marriage, and Naomi has arranged this marriage between Boaz and Ruth. She has said to Ruth, go to him, your redeemer, and go to him and ask that he would redeem you, that you might come under his protective wings. And then the marriage has been secured and legally bound by Boaz. We looked at that last week and the week before. Boaz goes and he does the necessary, takes the necessary steps so that this marriage would be legal and it would be justified according to God's laws. And then it's consummated by the couple. And surely there is a great celebration. We don't read of that in this passage, but if you think of John 2, there's the wedding at Cana that Jesus goes to where he turns water to wine. And these festivals surrounding the marriage would often last for days. And so there has been a great party, I'm sure of that. Boaz is he's a wealthy Jewish man. And so there was surely a celebration. And now that the marriage is official, Boaz has gone to his wife and the Lord has caused the barren womb of Ruth to conceive a child. She had been in Moab all those years with her husband. There were no children, but now married to Boaz, the Lord causes a child to be born from the two of them. And what joy there is to be found. Any mother or wife or husband or father knows the joy that is to be found in these times of marriage or the birth of a child. As I was thinking about that this week, I remember these times with my wife, with Jessica. It's such a sweet time, and it's so good that you, maybe some of you guys can relate, you rehearse the events together. I remember after our wedding and after our daughter was born and after the boys were born, we just would go and make sure we didn't miss any details the next day and then even weeks to come, just kind of reliving the moments and seeing like, hey, at the wedding, who did you talk to? What did you see that I missed? Because it's just such a joy and such a time of rich blessing. And we don't read of all of this in the life of the parents, but we know that it's so. And the passage turns straight to Naomi, though. It goes to the grandmother. And it says that the same women who saw Naomi coming back into Bethlehem bit her. If you guys remember, Naomi had gone out. She went out to Moab with Elimelech and the land that the Lord had told them not to go out to. And there was much suffering and bitterness and death. And Naomi, whose name means pleasant, she comes back to Bethlehem. And they say, can this be Naomi? And she says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. And so these same women of the city who saw Naomi come back in this way, they now see all along that the Lord had planned to return her to a pleasant life, to a life of rejoicing. Her grandson, Obed, whose name means servant, he's proclaimed by the women of the city as Naomi's redeemer. So not Boaz, who has been the main kinsman redeemer focused in the majority of this book. Now the women of the city say that Obed, Naomi, is your redeemer. He is the restorer of your life. He is the nourisher of Naomi in her old age. He will carry on the family name. He will care for the inheritance of the land and all that come after, probably long after Boaz passes. He will be caring for Naomi as her redeemer, providing everything for her that she needs. And the women say, you may have lost your husband and your sons, but God who loves you has given you a daughter-in-law whose love is complete, and it's greater than that of seven sons. It's a perfect, complete love. And this perfect love is cast out any reason in Naomi to have fear. Or from Ruth's marriage to Boaz, Naomi has received a grandson who will care for her the rest of her days. And surely Naomi hears these words from the women. She knows that these words are right and true. And she takes her grandson, the servant's son, Redeemer Obed, and she takes him onto her lap, and she cares for the one who will one day care for her. And this is how God does things so beautifully. This is how it is in God's design, that we would care for those who would one day care for us. And what a comfort it is to know that God has planned for us to be cared for. Amen. I've had the great pleasure and joy to be able to preach to the youth at a couple events over the last 2 weeks, last Wednesday and then this Wednesday. And my wife and I were talking about it, and I told her one of the things that stood out to me, it was visible, tangible, it was unavoidable. When I was preaching to the youth, it looked a lot different than when I was preaching to you all. There was an openness in them that is not common amongst us adults. They didn't have so much callous, and their mask was not as formulated. And there was just a freedom there. And I remember thinking, as I was getting to speak to them, like, Lord, help me to be more like them. Help all of us to be more like them, to be more like children with you, to truly know that we're safe with you, that you bring us out into those broad places and you rescue us because you delight in us and we're safe with you. And I also thought, man, we need to care for these youth, the kids that God has placed in our lives. We need to care for them, that they might one day care for us. But Lord, help us not put our masks upon them or give them any undue callous before it's necessary or needed. Help us guard them against people that would try to draw them into places of pain and injury that would cause them to need to be continually and constantly on defense. Amen. God has designed things so beautifully, and part of that design is that we would care for those who care for us. That's such a sweet picture of a redeeming God as he weaves his redemption through a marriage that brings forth the birth of a servant's son. And the passage says this son, Obed, was the father of Jesse. He is the father of King David, who's the king of Israel, which compels us to look to another marriage that brings redemption through a son. And that's the marriage between the Lord and his wife, Israel. And there was a covenantal marriage between God and Israel. And the Lord loved his people Israel with a perfect love. And though they did not return his love, he spoke of his people with such fondness, like that of a husband speaking to his wife. The prophet Hosea's words in Hosea 2, according to the Lord, he says, I will make you my wife forever, Israel, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. And the prophet Ezekiel, he says in chapter 16, and this is my paraphrase, through her marriage covenant with God, Israel was made beautiful by her husband, the Lord. She was made beautiful beyond measure. Yet she dishonored him, and she used her beauty for her own glory. And though he punished her for her sins against him, he also promised that he would always remember the covenant that he had made with her, and that from her would come a son, a servant, who would bring redemption to his wife for all who would believe. And Isaiah spoke of this son, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And Luke talks about this son in his gospel in chapters 1 and 2. We read of this angel, Gabriel, who comes to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and he heads out to find this virgin woman, Mary. And he says that she will have a child from the Lord whose name will be Jesus. He says he will be a son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And according to the word of God, he will be the salvation of all people. He'll be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to the Lord's people, Israel. And so like Naomi, Israel had left the Lord. We talked about how Naomi had gone out with her husband into foreign lands and worshiped foreign gods and eventually returned. And so it is with Israel, has gone out to foreign lands and lived and worshiped in foreign lands and foreign gods, and they suffered the due cause, the death and the destruction and the bitterness that came from going out against their Lord. However, like Naomi, for those of Israel, the Lord's wife, who would return to their husband, the Lord, return to the land of the living, there was a servant son, his name is Jesus, who was born, who longs to redeem Israel, to restore them, and to nourish them in their old age. As I just read in the Gospel of Luke just a moment ago, he tells us that the redemption of that servant son, Jesus, is not only available to believing Israel, but to all who would put their faith in him. He says, a revelation to the Gentiles, which compels us to look to another example of redemption that flows through a marriage found in God's word. And that is the marriage between the servant's son, the bridegroom Jesus, and his bride, the church. And so, like that telescope that brings us nearer to that which is far away, we are getting closer and closer to ourselves in this story, are we not? We've looked at Ruth and Boaz and the redemption that has come through that marriage and the son Obed, and we've looked unto the Lord, the husband, the great husband, and his wife Israel, and the redemption available to them through this son, the servant son Jesus. And now we look to the church. Jesus, the servant son of God, brought forth through the people of Israel, is referred to as the husband or the bridegroom of his people, his church, his bride. And you guys, many of you know, husbands, I'm sure you've read these verses, I hope, and taken them very seriously. Paul's words in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. He says later on, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He says, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that this mystery refers to Christ and his church. Jesus, the servant's son, is also the loving husband of his bride, the church, and he has shown his love by sacrificing himself for us, his bride. We, like Naomi, have gone astray. We, like Israel, have gone astray. And the Lord has sent his son, Christ Jesus, to come and bring us home. And he has gone out, you know the story, and he has given everything on our behalf. He has given his very life so that we might have life eternal. He shed his blood on the cross, going into the grave, but then shows that the grave has no authority over him, and he's raised from the dead and ascended to the right hand of his Father, and he lives to intercede on our behalf. For whoever would put their faith in him, there is life to be had eternal in Jesus. And he's actively cleansing us as his spirit washes over us with his powerful word. He washes over us like the rocks that sit in a riverbed, as they're washed over and over and over again, and they're conformed and they're shaped. And we are being shaped into his image, an image of splendor and of holiness, without blemish or without spot or without wrinkle. That's why every single week we preach from God's word, because we want to sit underneath what God has to say, and we want to be shaped and molded by who our God is into what he has said that we are supposed to be, his sons his daughters, members of his bride, his church. Amen. And he's doing all of this so that we are ready for our glorious wedding day that awaits us. In Revelation 19, it says this, "I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" So like Naomi, we too are blessed through a great marriage and a great servant son, Jesus, our restorer, who completes the redemption that he began in us as he restores us and he nourishes us and he turns our bitterness to joy. Isn't God's word so cool? I started off by saying that my wedding day and the day that my first child was born, that these are monumental moments in my life, and I could speak to you about these moments in vivid detail, and that is 100% true. And as true as it is, our marriages and our children are, as Hebrews has been teaching us, but a shadow of the substance to come. And that is the redemptive story that is woven all through Scripture, and that of a marriage between bride and groom, and a servant son, Jesus, who nourishes and restores his people. That's the word for us. The Lord brings redemption through a marriage that brings forth a son. He shows us this in the life of Boaz and Ruth, as he brings forth Obed, this servant son, to redeem Naomi. And he shows it to us between himself and his wife, Israel, as we see the Son of God born, the servant who brings redemption to all of the Jewish people who would put their faith in him. And we see it in this this marriage between the bridegroom and us, his bride, the church, to which he brings redemption to all who have put their faith and their trust in him. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." And I'd say that you would be nourished and restored and that you would live. I just asked that question as we get close to parting our time. Where are we going for nourishment in our daily lives? Where are we going for restoration? Who are we trusting in? Are we going to things that we ought not? Are we going to the lesser things, good things, but not the greatest thing? We are God's people, and we are made to go to him. And so this week, just in your own private time, just spend some time and ask the Lord to just reveal to you if we need to be more pinpointed and directed towards him. Lord, help us to do it. Amen. Let me read this lyrics from this song as we part, and then we'll close in worship together. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Who holds our days within his hand? What comes apart from his command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is his grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise? Who stands above the stormy trial? Who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ? Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. Unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ, he lives, Christ, he lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed. And we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore, forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you are our hope in life and death. We do. We scream hallelujah to you, Lord. We praise you. You are so glorious. You are so good. You are with us in the highest heights and the lowest lows, Lord. And you are good, and we are so grateful. We just turn to you, our Redeemer, this morning, our Restorer, our Nourisher. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you continue to do for us, Lord, and that you've promised that you will return for us. And we long for that day, Lord, and we pray for you to give us the patience to wait with joy. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.